This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello and welcome to Health and Living with me, Lim Soo Ann. It was World Oral Health Day on Sunday, the 20th of March. So we're taking this opportunity to highlight oral health, dental health, especially among older adults on our monthly Healthy Aging segment. So many of us, you know, often think that deteriorating dental health is part and parcel of aging, that we would eventually, you know, lose all our teeth at some point. But is that really the case? So I want to find out more about the importance of us maintaining our oral health together with Associate Professor Dr. Jacob John from the Faculty of Dentistry at University Malaya. How are you doing today, Dr. Jacob?
Very good. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
So let's start with, I guess, a bit of an anatomy 101, right? To go back to the basics before we begin, which parts of the mouth are we referring to when we talk about our oral and dental health?
Okay. Normally, when we talk about oral health, the first thing that comes into our mind is the teeth, right? So we all know that teeth is there in the oral cavity, and that is what we have to take care of. But there are, yes, like you said, there are other anatomical parts that are of essence for us to be aware of and also to take care of these. So this would include starting from the lips. Okay, then we have the palate. You have palate, the hard portion of the palate as well as the soft portion of the palate. So the hard palate is the bony front portion of the roof of the mouth. And the soft palate is the muscular back portion of that part of the roof of the mouth. Then we also have behind the teeth, okay, for example, a person who has got the full complement of 32 teeth, the retromolar area. So this is the area behind the wisdom teeth, or what we call the third molars. In addition to that, we also have the tongue, the gums, or what we in the dental fraternity we call as the gingiva, the mucosa, which is the inner lining of the lips and the cheek, and also, not to forget, the floor of the mouth. All this constitute the anatomy of the oral cavity.
There's so much to it, more to it than just teeth, right? I think when people think about oral health, they think about their teeth and their gums. So if we talk about aging, right, Dr. Jacob, how does aging then affect those structures that we were talking about earlier, especially your teeth and your gums, which is what people often think about?
So aging affects all parts of the body, and that includes the teeth as well as the gums. So normally what we relate to teeth are the cavities and the gum problems. So losing the teeth, it is not inevitable. It is something that happens, but we can reduce the loss of the number of teeth because of better awareness now, as well as more conservative treatment options that are available today. For example, what we see when we compare it with probably 15 to 20 years ago, when it was more of management of the pain. But today, it is more of conservative or preventive management that we are looking at.
So does that mean that, do you see people taking their dental health, their oral health seriously these days? Have you seen better awareness, especially as they age?
I would say yes, because we all know that people are living longer now. Okay, that's something that is a global phenomenon that is taking place. And we also know about the aging population, where the number of those aged 65 years and above are increasing in numbers. And it is said that by 2030, they will outnumber those aged 10 years and below. So that itself shows the magnitude of the challenge that we are having in our hand at the moment. So with this aging, we are also seeing people retaining their natural teeth. More people are retaining their natural teeth. So that is also a phenomenon that we are seeing at the moment now.
All right. So then what are some of the most common dental diseases or oral diseases that you see among older adults?
Okay, the most common would be the dental cavity. Okay, that's everybody, all of us are aware of it. Or what we call the DK, So that's when you have a cavity on the surface of the tooth. And as you grow older, you also see cavities at the neck of the tooth, okay? Or what we call at the area of the root of the tooth.
Mm-hmm.
So that is also something that is seen as we grow older. Now, in addition to this dental cavity, just now we also mentioned about the gum problem. This gum, or what we call the gingiva, or the pink portion of the oral cavity that you see in our mouth,
mm-hmm.
it starts receding. And this is probably related to the lifelong use of hard toothbrush, probably, as well as inflammation of the gums. Now, when we eat, we have food particles that stay on our teeth. And mm-hmm. this is what we call as the plaque or tartar. As it becomes harder, then it's called tartar or calculus.
Mm-hmm.
So this buildup takes time and it can start irritating the gums. So when the gums are irritated, they start receding and you will see the exposure of the root more as we age. So that's the second one, gum problem. You also have something known as the dry mouth. So this is also a phenomenon that is all very often seen in people in their oral cavity because mm-hmm. of the reduced salivary production. So this can be because of age. It can be because of the medicines that we take
mm-hmm.
as well as certain health conditions. So the medicines like for high blood pressure, for high cholesterol, frequent medicines taken for pain, for depression, they have an effect on the salivary gland to cause these kind of reduction in the salivary production and leading to dry mouth.
Mm.
There are also certain health conditions that can also have side effects of dry mouth. For example, those who have undergone cancer treatment, those who have diabetes, those with stroke. And the last, but the not the least one is the oral cancer.
Mm. Okay.
Probably it's not very common in our Malaysian population, but it is there.
Mm-hmm.
And it is more common among those who are 45 years or above, and two times more among men when you compare it with women.
Mm.
Yeah. So those are the diseases that you can see in the oral cavity.
Hmm. So I guess if we look at the more common ones, right, like the ones that you mentioned earlier, like the cavities, the gum problems, or even dry mouth, how common are these among our population? From your experience, how common are they?
If you want to know about dental cavities, it is very common
mm-hmm.
because you have so many dentists coming out and they are being produced because there is the demand. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it is not just the aged population. It starts from the time the first tooth comes out in the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this problem is eternal. It starts from the time you have your teeth in the mouth. And that is where, due to, I would not say lack of knowledge, or it's because the knowledge is there, but it's probably due to the thinking that there are so many teeth in the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So what if there's just one cavity? Probably I can live with the rest of the teeth. So, you know, that sort of a mentality probably is what is causing this sort of an issue. And it starts not at the when you are old, but it starts from the time the first tooth comes into the mouth. So it is a compounded effect starting from very young age.
Mm.
Okay, so both the dental decays as well as the gum problem.
Mm. So these diseases can start much, much earlier, but only, I guess, really manifest in your later age as well.
It can manifest at the later in the age, or mm. it can be if we are not aware about the preventive effects of dental care.
Mm-hmm.
Probably it can happen much earlier also.
Mm-hmm.
There was a time when people, very, very few people, used to retain their teeth to their old age.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but that is changing. More and more people are retaining their teeth. But what is important is these teeth need to be functional also. That is the other challenge that we have. It is not only important that we have teeth, natural teeth remaining in our mouth,
mm-hmm.
but they should be natural teeth that are functional. When you talk about functional, the main function that we expect out of our teeth is the ability to chew.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so unless you have teeth that are complementing the individual to be able to chew properly the food that they are having on a daily basis, it will not serve the purpose, because then you will see that people are starting to change the diet to accommodate the oral condition.
Mm. What are some examples of non-functional natural teeth?
Okay, like I said just now, you have a full complement of teeth are 32 teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and they are, you have it in the upper jaw as well as the lower jaw.
Mm-hmm.
So normally what you have is a tooth with an opposing tooth.
Mm-hmm.
When you close your mouth, you can see, you can feel that both are in contact.
Mm-hmm.
So this ability of the upper tooth to be in contact with the lower tooth is what enables one to be able to chew better.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, especially the teeth at the back, because that is the normally the teeth that we use for chewing. So unless you have a complement of upper and lower teeth that are coming in contact, you may lose that function. So let's say you have two or three of your upper posterior back mm-hmm. teeth removed. So you, if you don't have the complement, then you are not able to use that side of your oral cavity to chew.
Mm.
So then you will try to go to the other side.
Mm. All right. Let's go for a quick break now, Dr. Jacob. And when we come back, let's talk more about risk factors, you know, that would make it more likely for people to have dental issues as they age, as well as treatment and the use of dentures, I think, which a lot of people are often thinking of or worried about as they grow older. I'm speaking today to Associate Professor Dr. Jacob John from the Faculty of Dentistry at University Malaya, and we are talking about oral health among older adults in conjunction with World Oral Health Day, which was on Sunday, 20th of March. Keep it here on Health and Living. We'll be right back on BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Health and Living with me, Lim Soo Ann. It is time for our healthy aging. It is time for our monthly healthy aging segment. And this month, we are commemorating World Oral Health Day, which was on Sunday, the 20th of March. We're talking about the importance of taking care of your oral and dental health as you age. And of course, joining me today, my guest is Associate Professor Dr. Jacob John from the Faculty of Dentistry at University Malaya. So before the break, Dr. Jacob was talking to us about the common oral and dental health issues that we often see among older adults, but really some of them are not necessarily only emerging as you grow older, because it a lot of these issues begin when you're younger as well, depending on how you care for your dental health. Dr. Jacob, let's talk about what causes these dental health issues, right? What are some of the most common reasons that you see here in Malaysia?
Biggest challenge for us is to get the person to realize that there is a dental problem and to seek early intervention.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and this is a problem because the awareness of oral health is there, but people are reluctant to probably seek the treatment because of a number of factors.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, one of them probably is the dental anxiety. So probably there was a bad experience at an earlier age, or they were told that it is an experience that probably is not something that to be cherished by their peers or the elders sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And also the fear of that pain. Okay. So these are some of the factors that probably would keep them away from the seeking the dental treatment. In addition to that, you also have the fear of needing the dental work. Okay, for example, the sound, the smell, the proximity of a lot of instruments near your mouth. So these are things that probably people feel that it is something that they can try to avoid as much as possible and only go for it when it's absolutely necessary. The other common factors that we hear from our patients include, say, that they are busy or they are too lazy to get the treatment done.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And there are also people who are ashamed to expose their oral cavity. You know, this is when you have a lot of cavities and you have sometimes people suffer from bad breath, but they are not seeking treatment because they are ashamed to be exposed to these diseases by a third person. We also have those who are afraid of being lectured by the dentist sometimes, okay, because they know once they sit on the dental chair, they cannot run away. Mm-hmm. And that itself is probably put them off from seeking the treatment. And we cannot deny some people, probably they are also concerned about the cost of the treatment, because they are probably not aware that there are many institutions that they can go and seek treatment where the treatment will be more affordable for them. And insurance coverage probably is another issue, because normal circumstances, anything that is defined as aesthetics is probably not covered by the insurance. And most of the dental treatment can be categorized as aesthetic care. Okay, so that is also an issue that probably is a reason why they try to avoid. As you grow older, the accessibility to the dentist will also be a challenge for the patients, mm-hmm. because they need to depend on transportation. They need to see the logistics as to where they live and where the dentist is, as well as to make sure that the clinic that they are going to are disabled friendly.
Mm.
Okay, so these are also some of the challenges that we hear from some of our patients when we ask as to why they had prolonged their dental treatment seeking appointment.
Mm. Yeah, and as with many, I think health issues when it comes to the older adults, there's so many other factors, right? There's also economic factors, the mobility factors that must be considered in if we want to improve their access to health. So if we look at then their ability to take care of their dental health, right? Their dental hygiene, are there any reasons that would sort of prohibit them from doing better when it comes to dental hygiene?
When you talk about dental hygiene, it's probably how you have been trained to take care of your teeth from an early age.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it does not really change. It does not really change as you grow older. It is the techniques that you use to keep your dentition or keep your oral cavity clean are the same. So what are the important things are that you should be able to brush at least twice in a day using a soft bristle toothbrush. Okay, now we have the toothbrushes that come in different consistencies. So a soft bristle toothbrush is more preferred so that it causes less harm to the teeth as well as the surrounding gums. Also having brushing using a fluoridated toothpaste will really help in preventing cavities from forming, because the fluoride in that toothpaste gives a protective layer to the tooth. In addition to this, flossing at least once a day, avoiding fizzy soft drinks, which are high in acidic, they are acidic and they can erode the teeth enamel. Okay, this is another thing that we see in many of our seniors, you know, the eroding of the enamel. So this can be compounded by this kind of a habit. So drinking fluoridated water is also advisable. Chewing with sugar-free gums, that is also another way of stimulating saliva flow as well as keeping the oral cavity clean. In addition to brushing, this is also a mechanism by which you can keep your oral cavity clean.
Mm.
Okay, so I spoke about cancer, oral cancer just now. So all the habits like smoking, others, tobaccos, excessive use of alcohol. So these are also things that we need to prevent. See the dentist on a regular visit. Okay, that is very critical, because don't wait till it is absolutely, there is no return path for that particular tooth. Okay, don't take it light, thinking that, you know, we are just losing one tooth. Please make sure that you make a routine visit to your dentist, whether there is a problem or not, because the dentist is the best person who can look into your mouth and advise you as to what sort of a care or preventive care that you have to strategize upon.
Mm. Dr. Jacob, you mentioned fizzy drinks earlier, and that's something I want to elaborate on. How much does our food or our diet affect our dental health?
Fibrous diet is good for us to have the not only for the nutrition, but mm-hmm. it is also important for us to have good function within the oral cavity to keep the teeth healthy as well as clean. Okay, many of our food has a lot of sugary content in it.
Mm.
Okay, so that is one of the reasons why we have or we suffer from dental cavities.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so avoiding sugary food or at least keeping them to as minimum as possible is a good way of maintaining good oral hygiene. Now, also, if you are, you cannot be away from that sugary tetarik.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it within your meals so that you do not have too many exposures to these sugary contents as you keep activating your oral cavity. So mm-hmm. these are things that, you know, probably the diet, how you can improve your hygiene in the oral cavity by taking precautions when you're having your routine meals.
All right. What happens when people don't address any potential symptoms or dental issues early on, right? Dr. Jacob, you mentioned that some people tend to leave it to, you know, until it's so bad that you can't reverse or fix it. I guess, how does poor oral health impact an individual, especially when it's left untreated in the early stages?
When you have a cavity or a gum problem,
mm-hmm.
it starts as a small point. So if you are able to stop it from developing into a pain factor, you will be able to maintain the tooth for a longer time. So it is important that, you know, from the beginning, you are able to have a good preventive regime. Like what I told just now, the routine care that you provide as well as your routine visit to the dentist, so that these kind of early signs or early symptoms can be identified and you will be able to prevent the further destruction of the tooth or the gums that are holding the teeth.
If someone doesn't take good care of their teeth and they lose that functional aspect of it, are there any concerns that could also then lead to other health issues, like, for example, nutritional issues, because then they can't chew, they can't eat properly?
For this, I can give you talking about aging. Mm-hmm. I can give you an example of Alzheimer's disease.
Mm, okay.
Okay. So what is Alzheimer's disease? It is a progressive neurodegenerative disease. Okay. And its most common form is in the dementia of older adults. Okay, so that is what is we know about Alzheimer's disease.
Mm-hmm.
So how does that have, what is the impact of Alzheimer's disease in the oral cavity? So with Alzheimer's disease, you see deterioration of the cognitive function,
mm-hmm.
okay, which is irreversible. So it can affect the memory, it can affect the coordination, it can affect the emotional control, behavioral function, it can affect the motor skills of the individual. So when you talk about the motor skills, then it boils down to how that person is able to maintain his or her oral hygiene in the oral cavity. So this leads to poor oral hygiene and can lead to further deterioration of the oral tissues, including the teeth and the gums. It can also then lead to, if the person is wearing denture, person can be more susceptible to what is called as denture-induced stomatitis,
mm-hmm.
and the dry mouth, or what is known as xerostomia. So mm-hmm. these are all things that can be compounded because that person is suffering from this degenerative disease. So in same way, you have people with diabetes, people who suffered from stroke, they have issues that are related to their general health, which can have an effect on the oral cavity and the deterioration of the dental structures.
Mm. And I guess on the flip side, Dr. Jacob, could oral health, dental health issues be also a symptom of other undiagnosed illnesses?
For this, if we look at, we can take diabetes as an example. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what you would see is sometimes we even come to a situation where the dentist diagnoses the person probably suffering from diabetes by looking at the oral cavity of the individual.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So what? How does this work? It is not at a more older age, but mm-hmm. even at a younger age, when a person who was 30 years, who never went for a blood test,
mm-hmm.
okay, but comes to the dentist with a dental problem, saying that person is suffering from generalized mobility of all the teeth that are there in the mouth, or the gums are of poor health,
mm-hmm.
and the healing is not. Whenever there is an extraction or there is a injury in the oral cavity, the healing is taking longer time than normal, than it should. Okay, so these are all signs that you can relate to a systemic disorder also. Okay, so for that matter, like what they say, the oral cavity is the mirror to your body. Okay, so this is a good example to show that sometimes you can detect some systemic problems from the oral cavity itself. Okay, and it need not be at an old age, it can be at a younger age.
Mm. Even more reasons for you to regularly see your dentist, isn't it? To make sure that you don't miss out on any potential symptoms of Absolutely. Other health issues.
Yes.
Are there any challenges in treating dental health, oral health issues among older adults, especially, I guess, if age is a factor?
I would not say age as a factor,
mm-hmm.
because age is a number. Okay, you can age healthily. Even at a younger age, you can have a lot of diseases.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's so right. that is not an actual factor that will determine what is your capability of caring for your teeth or what other situation that is there. The more important factor would be the functionality of the individual.
Mm.
Okay, whether the person can independently function or the person will have to have assisted functioning. Okay, so as we go towards that assisted functioning, that is when we see that we are not able to care for our own self, but we need that help from another person. Okay, be it a family member or a carer. That additional support has to be there once one is functionally dependent.
So I guess that would be in the case of someone who has mobility issues or disabilities, right?
Yes.
All right. Let's go for another very quick break, Dr. Jacob. And when we come back, I want to briefly talk about the use of dentures, which is quite commonly associated with older adults. You know, let's talk about that for a bit. I'm speaking today to Associate Professor Dr. Jacob John from the Faculty of Dentistry at University of Malaya. And we're talking about oral health, especially among older adults. So we'll be right back on Health and Living, PFM 89.9. Welcome back to Health and Living with me, Lim Soo Ann. Joining me today for our Healthy Aging segment is Associate Professor Dr. Jacob John from the Faculty of Dentistry at University of Malaya. And we are talking about oral health among older adults. And I know we've been talking quite extensively about common oral health issues, the importance of dental hygiene, as well as certain risk factors that may increase the likelihood of these issues and diseases. Actually, whether you are older or younger. Right before the break, Dr. Jacob, you were talking about people who may need help taking care of their dental hygiene, right? What are the challenges there when people have mobility issues or disabilities that prevent them from having that independence to take care of their dental health, right? How do you tackle those situations?
Like I mentioned, when the ability to take care of your teeth or your oral hygiene will depend on how functional you are. Okay, so this can happen at whichever age. Mm-hmm. It normally, in a normal transition, it is mm-hmm. at an older age. So once one becomes functionally dependent, then they need to get that assistance to take care of their teeth. Okay, they will need somebody to who will be able to help with their routine brushing if they still have teeth in their oral cavity, as well as to make sure that the nutrition that they're receiving is adequate, as well as it fulfills the requirement of the general need of the person.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so because normally when we start losing teeth, we would also start modifying the type of food that we take. Okay, because we are not able to chew better.
Mm-hmm.
So we tend to go towards the softer diet. And sometimes we lose on the nutrients because we go towards the easier food to swallow.
Mm.
So instead of you chewing, you start swallowing. Now, what is important when we talk about people who are functionally dependent? This number is actually increasing. Okay, it's a global phenomenon. This number is increasing, and we have to make sure that there are systems put in place to be able to care for these people. They may not be able to come to a routine dental clinic because, like what you said, the mobility issues, okay, the disability, they are not able to seek dental care in the dental chair. So that does not mean that they do not need dental care. They need dental care because it is not only to be able to have nutrition going into your mouth, it also will have an effect on the general health of that individual. So this is where we need to have interdisciplinary care teams coming up. Mm-hmm. So it is not just the dentist who will have to provide the service. The interdisciplinary care team can include the nursing personnel. Okay, nursing personnel can be one of the family members, or it can be a carer in an institution where that person is residing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So the long-term care facility managers, they should also be aware of these kind of issues. They should be able to communicate with the dentist or the physician or the dietitian to be able to provide the services for these elders. Okay, so unless you have this kind of an interdisciplinary care team, it will be difficult for the dental team alone, okay, either the dentist or the dental assistant or the dental hygienist. Okay, we even have dental hygienists in Malaysia who at the moment are providing more services for the children, but in the future, probably we may have to extend the scope of this group of allied dental professionals.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to provide at-home care.
Mm.
Okay, we have something called the domiciliary dental care, which is being practiced by the Ministry of Health, the Oral Health Division of the Ministry of Health. So they do dental visits to the homes to provide care for these kind of people who cannot come and seek treatment in the dental clinic.
Mm.
Okay, so these are areas that are developing. Because we are also going towards the aging population, and we need these additional services to be put in place so that people who are aging by the numbers, but they are aging also in the quality of life that they maintain, which mm-hmm. is very important.
Mm. And yeah, and you can imagine, you know, how important having good function of your teeth, your mouth is, especially if you want to ensure a good quality of life, right? You want to still be able to eat, to enjoy, you know, the various Malaysian foods that we have.
Very true, very true. Yes.
And speaking of functionality, let's talk a bit about dentures, which often comes into discussion when we talk about older adults, right? I guess, how do people usually feel when they are told that they need dentures? You know, what are they worried about?
Okay. Dentures, they come in different forms.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they can be removable, they can be fixed. And we even have, nowadays, we have the implants. Okay. So these are all called accessories that are there, which are replacing the natural teeth. Okay, so you can have it in a removable form, it can have it in a fixed form, you can have it as also an implant. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the dentures that you're talking about are the removable type of dentures. Okay. Mm. So you put it in the mouth, you use it for the function, and then you can take it out, clean it, and put it back.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a foreign object or a foreign entity in our mouth. So that adaptation period is very critical.
Mm.
So as you grow older, it becomes more difficult for you to adapt to this new thing. But if you had been wearing a denture, probably a denture replacing one or two or a few number of teeth, then probably you will be able to transition as the number of the artificial teeth in your mouth increases and the natural teeth reduces.
Mm.
Okay. Number of people that we see now who are fully edentulous, when I say fully edentulous, meaning there are no teeth at all in the mouth, are reducing. Okay, so people who need full replacement of teeth are reducing, but there are people who need partial replacements. When you talk about these kind of replacement teeth, it does not mean that it does not need care. You still need care of these artificial prosthesis, as what we call, are placed in the mouth. Unless those kind of cares are still provided, you will encounter problems like just now I said about denture stomatitis. Okay, so the inflammation of the tissues in the mouth that can arise because of poor hygiene of the denture in the mouth. In addition to that, you can also have food accumulation on the denture, causing once the food is hardened, then it can cause poor odor in the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So these kind of issues still has to be tackled by visiting a dentist on a frequent basis. So it does not mean that if you have no teeth in your mouth and you have a denture in your mouth, that you do not have to visit a denture. You still have to take care of the denture on a routine basis, daily basis, as well as seek dental professional advice on a periodic nature.
Mm. Oral hygiene is still important, even if the number of teeth that you have is reduced, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Absolutely. It is an absolute necessity.
And before we wrap up, Dr. Jacob, would you have a final message for people about oral health among older adults? You know, what are some do's and don'ts?
I had come across this recent publication, which I thought was quite an interesting one, because it uses the 5S concept.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We all know the 5S concept that was developed in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, for organizing spaces for people to work efficiently, mm-hmm. effectively, and safely. Okay, so in our routine work environment, we are very familiar with this 5S. Mm-hmm. Okay, but this article talks about how you can use this to improve the oral hygiene practice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, especially of a care by a caregiver. Okay, again, going back to when one is functionally dependent and needs the help. So how do you do that? So according to this, the 5 steps are: 1, sorting to remove unnecessary items. Okay, so your area of oral hygiene itself is organized well so that there is no confusion. For example, in a nursing home, you may have multiple people using the same area of hygiene. Okay, for example, a washroom or something. So if you don't organize it properly, you may have confusions. One denture going into another mouth, which is not supposed to. It's, you know, a loss of identity. So sorting is very important. Setting in order to place the items in order of flow. Shining to clean and maintain the environment. Standardizing to establish discipline for good oral hygiene habits. And sustaining to keep the 5S going by auditing and improving the environment, and oral hygiene practice. So the concept of the 5S is put in place for an improvement of oral hygiene itself.
Mm.
So I think it covers very well how we have to take care of our hygiene or the hygiene of those we are caring for using the 5S principle.
All right. Thank you so much for joining me today, Dr. Jacob.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. And thank you, BFM.
I've been speaking to Associate Professor Dr. Jacob John from the Faculty of Dentistry at University Malaya for our Healthy Aging series, and we've been talking about oral health, especially among older adults. I'm Lim Suen, and this has been Health and Living, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.